Welcome back to the Back in Five podcast. Once again, I'm Sean Clark. I'm the worship pastor here at Bethel Community Church, and I'm joined with the chairman of our board, who is actually sitting in as one of our staff members in the interim period and preaching on occasion, Randy Hankins.
Howdy.
Howdy. So we're preaching through the Gospel of Mark. We're taking kind of big chunks at all at once, and you preached from the last paragraph of chapter 2, verses 23 and following, and then all the way through chapter 3. So what were some of the things that the text indicated, and then what were some of the things that you wanted to point out to us and remind us of, and then keeping in mind that we do want to address that whole eternal security thing too?
Sure. Yeah, when we first divvied up the assignments, you know, I looked over what I had and this sermon, and I looked at the topics. I'm like, wow, I have a lot to cover. Mm-hmm. And then I saw, oh, and in there is the unpardonable, unforgivable yeah. sin. I'm like, oh, yeah. I drew the short straw, I think. Yeah. But in studying it, I really am getting an appreciation for the book of Mark. And mm-hmm. you know, I mentioned in my sermon, we had just talked about that, it's really getting exciting. It's building.
Right, right.
And because of the tension between Jesus and the religious leaders and really the building into the main chapter 4 is the main actual teaching of Jesus
time. Right.
In the whole book. And so, you know, we're building toward that. We've covered last week Jesus' conflict with the Pharisees as being Lord over the Sabbath.
Yeah.
And we had mentioned that the Pharisees had become, at least in their minds, Lord of the Sabbath with all their rabbinical rules. And then we talked about the crowds and the calling of the disciples and Jesus' mother and brothers. But the most time we spent on was the unforgivable sin.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's really interesting because there is like a lot of tension happening. There's that powerful verse in there that says that the Pharisees and the Herodians like decided to plot together to destroy Jesus. So there's a lot of stuff ramping up in this gospel, and there's a lot of people following Jesus so much that he's about to be crushed, you know, by the people. There's so many people following. And then he's going to talk about, well, the Pharisees are going to attribute his power to cast out demons to Satan,
right?
Right, and so, and that then he gets it into the whole narrative of, okay, what is the unforgivable sin? So why don't you talk us kind of through that, because that's obviously something that people wrestle with.
Sure, and where that narrative started is with that claim or that accusation, and we had mentioned that Jesus doesn't often defend himself, but this was a case where he defended himself, he defended the Holy Spirit, because they were attributing his power and the casting out of demons to Satan.
Right.
And that would undermine everything that he was about, his good news and his message. And he used the miracles and the casting out of demons to authenticate
right.
his message and authenticate his power, but also, in this case, it was who he was affiliated with.
Okay.
So the power was undeniable by the Pharisees.
Right, they didn't deny it.
But they wanted to say that power was not from God, that it was from, you know, Satan. And so that got Jesus into the, you know, logical reasoning with them, an argument just about, you know, the strong man and Satan wouldn't cast out himself or defeat himself. A house divided can't stand.
Right.
And then it gets into, you know, the unforgivable sin, where he says that you can blaspheme against the Father, you can blaspheme against the Son, and all sins will be forgiven men except for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Right. And I was in the back row, and I actually heard amens come out. Our congregation doesn't really speak audibly out loud during sermons.
I didn't notice it.
Yeah, I was one of them, and there's somebody else. But I think when you emphasized that phrase about being the strong man, and then Jesus says, indeed, he can plunder his house because someone stronger has come. Like Jesus was announcing, look, I actually do have the authority, and I'm the Spirit-anointed acts of power are not by Satan, they're by me, and I'm stronger.
Right. And they walked right into
right.
They walked right into that because he turned their accusation into logical, that Satan wouldn't be defeating himself, but since they stipulated the fact that the demons were being cast out,
right.
someone greater than Satan
somebody
had to be
must
doing
be
that.
There. Right. Right. So there, that was amens from the back row, at least.
Great.
So that's really cool. So what would we say to people that are fearful that they might be, you know, it's Tuesday afternoon, wondering if they've committed the unpardonable sin or the unforgiven sin? Let's talk with them about, you know, what encouragement we can find from what we found in the text.
Sure. I mean, the quick short answer to that was that really we went through a bunch of scriptures to show that sins are forgiven. And in verse 28, preceding that, Jesus said all sins of men are forgiven or able to be forgiven. And so we looked at the relationship between forgiveness and repentance and, you know, concluded, at least I did, mm-hmm. that forgiveness is dependent on repentance. And so if something is to be unforgivable, it first needs to be unrepentable. So there's some sort of state that happens to where we're beyond the ability to repent, and therefore it becomes, you know, unforgivable.
Right. And so it's not like a specific sin, I stole this or I committed adultery or I whatever it might be. This is this is really saying to the Holy Spirit, denying him his rightful place, and it's saying, I'm not going to respond to your work of convicting me. I'm not going to respond to your work of bringing me to repentance. It's actually just walking away from that.
Right. And there's biblical examples as I thought through this for today. And I think when people worry about are concerned about the unforgivable sin and have I committed it, it's really they're concerned about their eternal security.
Right.
And there's, you know, examples in, you know, in Psalms, David was, you know, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Mm-hmm. That was, you know, a prayer, a song.
Yeah.
And so the Holy Spirit wasn't like now as believers
Correct.
That we're indwelt with. And we also know in the Old Testament, you know, even with Pharaoh, you know, God hardened his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm pretty sure that any of those examples, God never hardened the heart mm-hmm. of a person that was responding to him.
Right.
And leaning toward him.
Right.
But people that were rejecting him
right.
or denying God, he would harden their heart.
Yeah.
And so I think that's kind of the same almost template that happens with this.
And so I'd say too, like if you're thinking that, if you're wondering that, the call to you today as a listener is the same call as it's always been. It's like today is the day of salvation. You need to urgently repent. You talked about this as an urgent call to repentance. If you even experience those types of thoughts, you know, repent and let the Holy Spirit do his work of convicting. And that's really what the gospel is all about. That's why Jesus came in chapter 1, verse 14, mm-hmm. proclaiming the gospel of repentance and the forgiveness of our sins.
Absolutely.
So, anything else you wanted to point out in the text?
No, just real quick that, you know, as far as eternal security, you know, in John 10, Jesus says, no one can snatch them out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the Father who has given me, talking about believers who has been given to Christ, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand.
Yeah.
And so, and it also talks about in 2 Timothy that the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that those are truths that we can know, that our salvation, our eternity is secure.
Yeah.
And really, if we say that being unrepentant is the danger,
mm-hmm.
then the ability to be concerned over that means we haven't crossed into that.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, hey, we hope to have you out at the Bethel Community this weekend. It is our missions conference. It begins Saturday night at 5:30 with a dinner and service at 6:30. And then there's another service on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. We hope to see you out at Bethel Community this weekend.